I want you to take note of a very special opportunity coming up in September. We've invited Brother Mark Roberts from the Westside Church in Irving to present a series entitled Ready, Set, Grow. If you've ever heard Brother Roberts before, you know what kind of energy he brings to the preaching of the Word. Someday when I grow up, I want to preach with that kind of energy. You will be in for a treat because he's going to bring the Word of God. Great opportunity to hear teaching, to be built up, to be encouraged. So we hope that you're carving out September 7th through the 10th on your calendar, and you'll be planning to join us then. The full slate of lessons it's online. There are some printed cards in the foyer. Feel free to take one or more of those and use those to good ends. All right, this morning I want to begin by splashing some passages up here on the screen. I'm going to give you an assignment, okay? It's not a hard assignment. I'm going to flash these passages up here. I'm going to read them. You can read along with me. Look at them as I read them. I want you simply, here's your assignment, I just want you to simply think about what these passages have in common. Pretty easy assignment. Here we go. We're going to begin in Exodus 15 and verse 1. Where the Bible says, Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Next, we're going to look at Judges chapter 5 and verse 3. Where there it says, Hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers, I to the Lord I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. We next pivot to the Psalms, Psalm 89 and verse 1. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. Psalm 146 and verse 2. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And then finally, passage 5 of 5, we go to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, where there the text says that he, speaking of Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. You picked up on the commonality in these passages, besides the fact that they all come from the Bible. It's pretty easy to see what's going on here, right? All of these statements express a very strong desire to open one's mouth and to pour forth praises, to sing praises to God. In fact, all five of these passages, your Bible may render them a little bit differently as translations go, but in the translation that I had here anyway, in all five of them, they use the exact same three words, and here are those words, I will sing. That is the subject and the title of our study this morning, and I'm excited to share some things with you along these lines from the Word of God. Obviously, I would only ever encourage you to do your own study on this or any subject. And I'm quite confident that so many of you have studied the subject of singing. And if you have, you understand that there is far more to be said about this subject than we could ever say in one sitting, at least if you want to have lunch today, okay? But when you look through the Bible, you, of course, will find many, many passages, that mention singing, many examples of singing, many statements of intent to sing, using song to speak the word, using song to celebrate God's accomplishments, his mighty works, using song to express commitment, to express devotion. Now, those texts don't all use the same words, but they express the same general desire to lift one's voice to God, pouring out one's heart to God through song in much the same way that you will find with prayer in Scripture. In fact, in the Psalms, there are songs and there are prayers, and sometimes You're not sure where the song ends and the prayer begins and vice versa. And maybe that's by design, that God is wanting us to express ourselves and through multiple avenues. But Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. We find that God's people are a singing people. Let me say that again. God's people are a singing people. Now understand, we shouldn't allow our understanding of singing to be colored by our culture. When I say singing, I'm talking about how the Bible speaks of that. But in the time of Moses, you just heard, they used song to celebrate the great victory at the Red Sea. In the time of Deborah and Barak, they celebrated through song the great victory of the Lord. David, of course, wrote many psalms that were designed to instruct people in how to worship, how to pray, yes, how to sing. In fact, David, through the instruction of the Lord, appointed several people to serve as singers in the worship at the temple or at the tabernacle. But you have Jesus and the 12. We'll read a text where they sing today. Paul and Silas, a passage where they sing today. We'll read a passage today where they sing. Multiple letters in the New Testament contain statements about singing. And moreover, when you look further, you find that singing, and hear me on this, was a practice not limited to collective worship. Not limited to group worship. Singing in Scripture, and if you take nothing else away from the lesson today, here's the key takeaway point I want you to get. Singing was a way of life. Singing is to be a way of life. I'm going to splash six passages up here. We're not going to take the time to read them. If you're taking notes and I'm going too fast, happy to give you an outline later. I just want you to see the point. Singing's a lifestyle. Psalm 145 in verse 2 contains the language of every day I will bless, every day I will praise. Is that talking about prayer? Could be. Probably is. Could it be talking about singing? Absolutely. Absolutely. Psalm 119 in verse 164, 7 times a day. 7 times a day. I will praise. Psalm 149 and verse 5, I will sing. And there in my Bible, the word sing is used. I will sing for joy on my bed. Now, I suppose if you're married, you got to be careful how you apply this. Don't do that to your spouse at 2 in the morning. Okay? Be thoughtful about that. I will sing for joy on my bed. Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing as long as I live. James 5 and verse 13, times of gladness and times of cheer, sing praises. And then in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, another passage that could be talking about prayer, could also be talking about singing. It talks about the sacrifice of the lips that offers praise to His name. Beautiful language that helps us understand, gives us insight into the everyday life of a person who has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Beautiful stuff. But then here comes what could be a difficult question for me and for you. Do those passages in any way describe your daily life? Now, notice I haven't talked about what this would look like. I certainly haven't talked about what this will sound like, because that's really secondary to it. It matters how it sounds in the ears of God. But what does this look like, okay, in your daily life? What role does song worship have in your day-to-day walk with God? And I don't know about you, I'm challenged by this. If I profess to be a person of the book and I read all of these passages that talk about, I will sing to the Lord. And sometimes for us, singing is about as uncomfortable as talking on an elevator. We just don't want to do it. We certainly don't want to look at each other when we sing. I won't go down that road. I'm challenged by this. I think these verses should stir us maybe to think about this. It's a Bible subject. There's no getting around it. Think about our own attitudes and views when it comes to worship through singing. Now, you look in a dictionary, what is singing? You look it up and it says something like, producing musical tones and harmonious sounds by means of the voice, blah, 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 blah. That's just clinical, isn't it? I mean, that technically is right, and that definition really refers to the mechanics of singing, but then you start reading about singing in the Bible, and as we've already seen, we're talking about something far beyond mechanics, aren't we? Far beyond it. Much more than that. Yeah, there are physical mechanics involved, even in our worship assembly this morning. Okay, Reagan has led us very well. We use music that's written and arranged, displayed in hymnals and on slides. Someone pitches and directs the singing. All of those things are authorized. All of those things are important to aiding and facilitating the carrying out of the biblical instruction. What I'm trying to focus us on is the biblical instruction. What is it exactly that we are called to do biblically? We need to be thinking biblically about singing. In Scripture, music certainly plays a role, but music is a vehicle to accomplishing a much greater objective. Bible singing is about so much more than sound and how it pleases us. I took out the quote I had, honey, in the I'll include it now. A famous musician that would talk about I was reading in a book, and he talked about the songs that his band composed in the early days, and he would say, we were trying to create a sound, I'm paraphrasing, and he said the words were almost just like an afterthought, and John Lennon was the one that said that. That's a different view of music, okay? I'm not saying that view of music is sinful, but I'm saying that when we talk about music, and certainly when we talk about singing, we are guided and directed by God's thinking about this. We need to remember, it is as spiritual an endeavor as praying is. It's as spiritual an endeavor as praying is. Singing exists in the spiritual realm, beyond the confines of time and of this physical world. Singing is a constant occurrence in heaven, Revelation 5, Job 38, Psalm 148, just to name a few places. Singing existed before time began. Think about that. Before time began, there was singing. And after time is no more, there will be singing. And so the purpose of this study simply is to encourage us to be people who, like many we've read about in Scripture, are eager to sing, and moreover, who purpose to sing, who are intentional about it. Devote energy and effort to the spiritual, maybe I can say it this way, the spiritual practice of singing. Maybe that doesn't land quite right. I'm still not sure about how to say that. Maybe the practice of singing. But we need to be people whose lives are marked by song, marked by the practice of singing praises to our God. And certainly when we're together, but not just when we're together, but as part of our daily lives. And if you're struggling, okay, well, what exactly would that look like? I join you with that. Doesn't exempt us, though, from trying to figure out what that ought to look like. So to these ends, I want to share with you some thoughts about why I think the Scripture says we should be so intentional. I'm going to give you three whys, answer to the why question, three reasons why we need to be intentional about singing. And the first one is this. This really is the only point I would need to make. Because of who God is. And I could shorten that, I won't, but I could just say, because God is. Singing in Scripture is one of the responses, not the only one, one of the responses, the Bible says, is commensurate to a proper consideration of the majesty and glory of God. In fact, the proper response of every created thing should be to praise the Creator. Can we take a venture over to Psalm 148 for a second? I mentioned it a moment ago. I want to read a few verses from this. You'll recognize this as the it's the basis for the lyrics to the song, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. And you'll recognize that. Psalm 148, beginning with verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. And then it says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. You see, it's a call to all creation. Verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? For he commanded and they were created. You see, there's a relationship that we have with our Creator. We are honoring his place, his sovereignty, his existence. We are just the created. Verse 6, he's also established them forever and ever and has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. Verse 7, sea monsters, all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. You see the point? The proper response of all creation. In the text that Gary read for us, Psalm 100. I appreciated the way he started off our service today. I hope every one of us is as excited to be here as clearly Gary is. And that's exactly the tone of the psalm itself. It was fitting. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord. I think we have this one up here. Shout joyfully to the Lord. There it is. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. What stirred the psalmist to sing and to call upon others to do the same? I would posit the very knowledge of God. The knowledge of all his wonderful attributes, the knowledge of his existence, of his relationship to us. That God is the Creator, that God is good, that God is abundant in loving kindness, that God is faithful. We're going to sing as the song of invitation today, for you have promised and I believed. We have reason to believe because our God is faithful. We have reason to believe because our God keeps every promise that he makes. Walk through your Bible and you see this relationship everywhere. Psalm 92 and verse 4. Why do I sing? Because of who God is. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. And so then later he says, I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 96, verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing, why a new song? Sometimes our songs here just, it's like, our songs here are never enough, right? What song would be worthy of our God? And I wonder if that's not part of the idea of sing. There are some songs that should only be sung to the Lord. They're new. They are unique. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation. From day to day. See it, lifestyle? Tell of his glory among the nations. His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. How would we do that? Well, we could just talk about them. But sometimes people could hear them in our songs. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all God. Psalm 104 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There's an expression that's not stated with a monotone. O my soul. Oh, Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. I guarantee you, however many psalms David wrote, in his mind, it wasn't enough. That more needed to be written. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, we cited this earlier. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. You see, that's the wellspring. The knowledge of God in the heart gives birth to songs of plenty. The fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Spirit, it says in verse 18. We sometimes neglect that expression. We want to go and talk about singing in verse 19, but at the neglect of verse 18, where we're commanded not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit, and that filling then results in a pouring out, a speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart. There's the instrument God wants us to use. To the Lord. What do we see going on in all of these passages? Someone's thinking about God. Someone's meditating on the greatness of God, on his attributes, on the gospel message, and being moved to honor and glorify Him in many ways, including through the giving of praises that one has concluded are absolutely due to Him. Some people think, well, it's just going to be boring in heaven. I mean, all people are going to do is just sit around and sing. Are you kidding me? Nobody's going to be bored with singing in heaven. And there's going to be a lot of it. And you want to know why heaven will be filled with the praises of God? Because even in our heavenly bodies, think about this, even when we're able to see Him as He is, which is what John says, even in our heavenly bodies, we will be immersed and overcome by the very presence of God and of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And I know that many of you just studied that wonderful scene not long ago in Revelation 4 and 5. And that's why I say, if this was the only point I had in this sermon, it would be plenty reason enough. Maybe you're wishing I'd just end it right now. I've got more to say. Hang with me. But I hope you see why we should be people who have a heart to sing. We sing because of who our God is. And I want you to see the intentionality in that. Our title, I Will Sing. To sing is a decision of the will. It is a decision of the mind. It may be accompanied by emotion, but not driven by emotion. It's driven by knowledge. And the more God-centered we become, the more we're drawn to honor and glorify Him through song. Paul taught that singing flows from hearts filled with the Spirit-revealed teaching of Jesus Christ, the soul-saving message. Hearts that understand and are controlled by the will of God. And in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, you have that dimension of it. Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. There's the spring of waters. And so then that causes us to look inward. And we reflect. And frankly, if we're filled with pride, we're filled with self-centeredness, filled with bitterness, filled with pleasure-seeking, we shouldn't be surprised to find that we're uninterested in a whole range of spiritual activities, singing being one of them, singing as God wants it to be, certainly. Oh, singing may tickle our ears. Hey, listen, ain't nobody on planet Earth loves four-part harmony more than me. Let's talk afterwards. You notice that's the first time I've mentioned four-part harmony, and there's a reason for that. That is incidental to the point that we're making this morning. Worship is all about God. Worship is about having a burning desire to honor and please Him. Listen, I struggle with this too, but we need to preach about this in kind of a fiery way to light us up a little bit about this. Because the Bible is filled with this language, brothers and sisters. It's easy to say it's all about Him, isn't it? You can't find a more encouraging environment in which to say that. My question is it really about Him? I'm going to say this carefully. I even wonder if I've been here long enough to have earned the right to say this, so I need some grace here, okay? Just wonder, we have singing the last Sunday night of every month here. Have several brothers lead us in song. I didn't look. But what do you think I'd find if I go and look at the attendance data and put it up there and compare it to Sunday morning? Just asking a question. You know, I didn't answer the question. I didn't look to see what the data looks like. Sorry, I'm a former engineer, for those of you who don't know me, data. Sorry. You see the point? I can say it's all about him. Oh, it's singing night. I've thought that way before. It's just singing night. I've said that statement before. It's just singing night. And then I look at these passages and I think, Mark, you need to change your attitude. Right now. Do we honor his instruction about singing? I'm not talking about honoring the fact that he specifies singing and no other kinds of music. I'm not afraid to have that conversation. Especially if we profess that worship's all about God and whatever he has said. And I appreciated Jake making this point last week. You, in essence, alluded to this. That songs sung from apathetic hearts. Maybe they're sung without mechanical instruments. I'm going to say that's no more pleasing to God than heartfelt songs with instruments. We pat ourselves on the back because mechanically we've got it right. That's about this much Bible singing. Our singing is described as a sacrifice to God. You heard that in Hebrews 13. It must be God-centered. Think about how God in Scripture regards half-hearted sacrifices. For further reading, see the book of Malachi. Known people that say they just don't want to sing. And I'm going to tell you, without fail, it's never for God-centered reasons. It's always for self-centered reasons. I don't like a cappella singing. Okay? We can still have fellowship if that's just, we're talking about personal preference. I don't like my voice. Good news. It's not about that. I don't like how that song sounds. Further good news. It's not about that either. Although there is something to be said for music and the message going together. That's another conversation. I don't like how it's led. That too could be a good conversation to have. But my question is, who is this about? Sometimes our statements betray us because we sing because of who God is. Okay, we've made that point abundantly. So let's move on and say further. I sing because my soul needs it. We don't just sing because God deserves it, although again, that's reason enough. But there are blessings our souls receive from lifting up our voices to God. It blesses our relationship with Him, draws us closer, connects us with Him. First of all, it becomes a conduit that God gives us for expressing our souls to Him, for reaching out to Him, for expressing our hearts to Him. We sing when we are overcome by how great God is. And so we see how these two points kind of couple together. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You ever just see a gorgeous sunset or a beautiful sunrise, or you've received some answer to prayer, and you feel this way? My encouragement to you is express that to God. Yes, in your prayers, and yes, also, we need to find ways to sing that to Him. It becomes He seems to talk about this a lot. Maybe this is an area where we just trust and obey. We sing to express our feelings and emotions. It's an outlet for our souls. We express our joy, James 5 and verse 13, through song we rejoice in God's salvation and God's deliverances and God's blessings. Saw something really cool recently. I know a lot of you sing to your kids, especially at night. I'm going to take a quick side trip. And then I want to talk about the cool thing I saw. I'm going to remember both of these things. We're talking about in class about parents worried about the future of your kids. There's some balm for that in Scripture. One of my mom's favorite songs was Blessed Assurance. And I couldn't tell you when I first learned that song because she sang it to me all the time in the rocking chair. I don't need a book to sing that. It was planted there a long time ago. She's gone, but she continues to guide me in the Word. What I wouldn't give to hear that sweet alto voice sing that song today. But the words are still with me. And listen, that same woman, late in her life, with advanced, rapidly accelerating dementia, still didn't forget the songs of the church. They were in there. And you want to hold your kids in good stead for the future, get the Word into their hearts and get it in there through song. And if you're doing that, double down on it. We sing to express our feelings and emotions. Oh, yeah, the other cool thing. It's at a birthday party for one of our kids here. I'm not going to say who. If you were there, you know who it is. And I forget what the order of things was, but at one point, the father says, I want us to sing our son's favorite song. And we sang it. And just that idea of marking key moments in our life with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, I thought it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. We sing to tell God how thankful we are for all He has done. When God brings you through a hard time, maybe it was a rough, bumpy journey. We talked about that in class too. But we've had the Word richly dwelling within us. Maybe it's the Psalms helping us, informing us about that journey, teaching us to give voice to our frustration. And then on the other side of that, we celebrate. We have gratefulness in our heart and we spill that out to God. We sing to express other emotions. I just mentioned some other things. Our anguish and hurt. I don't know if you've ever thought about how many of the Psalms are laments. I mean, what I guess it would have to be in a minor key, right? If we were to sing a song here that was a lament. Songs that a caregiver can use. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, sang with his disciples, Mark 14 and verse 26. You think about the timing of that song. Why sing? He's staring death in the face. Well, perhaps these were the Hallel songs. Psalm 113 through 118 were sung at the Passover meal. But regardless, I hope you're struck by the fact that as our Savior languished over his imminent betrayal, suffering, and death, he carved out time, yes, to pray. We remember his prayers. Do we remember his singing? In fact, here are some words from Psalm 118 that may have been words that he sung when he and his disciples sang that hymn, Psalm 118 and verse 5, for my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. Hear it. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Fitting words for a man about to die on the cross. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Then later in the psalm, in verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Would you sing that thought on that day? He may have sung those exact words. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's weighty, isn't it? And then we sing to express greater commitment to doing His will. Psalm 61 and verse 8. I will sing praise to your name forever that I may pay my vows day after day. What commitments have we made just this morning in our songs? Do we plan to keep those commitments? So you see, our singing should catapult us into greater service to God. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And then verse 5, remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. In expressing our hearts to God, we draw closer to God. Our souls need to be close to God. But then singing blesses our souls in another way. Not only does it give an outlet for reaching out to God, it provides a way for God to reach out to us. Because it's one of the ways that God uses, of course, to teach his word to us. We're not just singing any words. We're singing songs that come from, that are based upon, God's word. And so through singing, we grow in our appreciation of the word. In singing, we receive encouragement in our battle against evil. In singing, we're inspired to be more like Jesus. We add fuel to the fire of our zeal, and we recenter our minds on heaven as we prepare for eternal fellowship with him. And I'm saying to us this morning, our souls need that. In fact, God uses us in giving that to one another. And so that's our third point this morning and final point. We sing because others need. Others need you to sing. Others need you to sing. Oh, I don't want people to hear me. Tough toenails. I don't mean that as harshly as that. I'm sorry. Listen, what can God use you to do? I mean, that's what it comes down to. He wants to use you. No one needs to hear me sing. It might be better if they didn't. When that actually isn't true. Singing is a unique avenue for teaching the Word of God, for laying the Word of God on the hearts of others, for admonishing, for warning others. Martin Luther said, I wish to compose sacred hymns so that the word of God may dwell among the people also by means of songs. Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, a word that means to warn. Warn one another. For example, there's a great day coming. Great day coming. Verse 3, there's a sad day coming. Songs of encouragement, songs of invitation. It's a unique form of teaching God's word to others. To encourage, remind, instruct, we need that. We need that from each other here. We need that from each other at other times. Again, what should that look like? We need to figure that out together. I'm encouraged so much when I sing songs, like, say, about God's faithfulness, and I get to sing them with older saints. I'm thinking of some now. I'm looking at some now. I'm thinking of some that have passed on. I'm built up when I sing about following Jesus, and then I sing it with people who have been doing just that for years. It's awesome. I'm stirred on when I sing about the gospel being for all, and I get to do that at Twin City with people of all different races. It's awesome. It's awesome. Because God uses singing to draw us together, to unify us, to strengthen us in his word. In fact, have you ever thought about singing as a tool to spread the gospel? Remember Acts 16, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And it says, and the prisoners were listening to them. We tell others about our God when we sing, when we come together and give our best. When we can still sing in hard times, that says something to others. I will give thanks to you in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throng. Seemed like a good time to talk about this morning, and you've been very, very patient listeners. But it's a good time to talk about this, given that our annual singing is this Friday. It's been announced in the family news for some time. You going to be there? Hope you will. If at all possible, I will sing. That's the biblical intention. Let's make that always the attitude of our hearts, and not just this Friday, but all the time. What a privilege it is to get to lift up our voices and our hearts to God our Savior. The very fact that He wants my meager, meager offerings. Wow. What does that say about His love for me? What does that say about His love for you? And of course, even that just pales in comparison to the cross, which we get to remember every Sunday. On a Roman cross nearly 2,000 years ago, God offered His own sacrifice to save you and me. He loves us. That's what we're saying. He wants us to be His children, children who are close to Him, children who depend on Him, children who trust in Him, children that feel safe to pour out their hearts to Him in relationship, in trust. Are you a child of God? If not, your Heavenly Father calls out to you this morning. He's created a very, very special way, the only way, through His Son, to have your sins forgiven and to draw you to Himself as His child. I want you to consider what God has done for you, what God has done through Christ, and how that blesses you. He can put a song in your heart that no one can take away. Maybe as a disciple, that song has begun to fade away because you've stopped singing it. You've become distracted. You've began to allow the weights to weigh you down, as Brother Broyles talked about on Wednesday night. If that song has faded in your heart because you've stopped singing it, you can get that song back. Get back to the gospel. Get back